You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 31 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Tete Tulari, we're seeing some recovery in some of those stocks, leisure stocks, Sun International. We'll touch on that. Martin Slabbert from Mass Real Estate on results, and then Sea Harvest on results. That aquaculture continues to struggle. That supply chain is hurting, but they're picking up more and more sales in the offshore markets. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Staying with that, Sun International receives a $235 million business interruption payout with more to come. They're going to get about $500 million, believed to be one of the biggest. And it is good to see that the payouts are happening, although I think perhaps for many small companies, too little too late. And then Business Day process dropped 3.5% yesterday after China slashes gaming time for children. Back in 2019, China set rules that limited children, minors as they refer to it, to 90 minutes a day. New rules, they can have 1 hour a day on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and public holidays, and it has to be between 8 and 9. I'm not a parent, but I got to say, if you're a parent, I'm not sure how easy that is going to be to manage. Yeah, morning markets, US was green overnight, S&P up 0.4, NASDAQ strong, up 1.1. We've got Asia green, Sydney up 0.5%, Tokyo a couple of points to the green, 0.02% up. Commodities mixed overnight, gold a dollar stronger, 1,817. Rand a little better at 1,466. Top 40 opening call, looking for a red open, about 190 points down. It's about 0.3%. That as Tencent trades 3.2% down during lunch in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Matete Tulari, head FX execution at RMB. Matete, appreciate the early morning time. I mentioned those Sun Internationals in the intro there. They still lost money, but the adjusted headline loss went from R7.02 down to 3 cents. Revenue up 51%. My sense is not out of the woods, but looking a lot better. Third wave seems to be subsiding locally. How are you looking at these leisure stocks on our JSE?
Good morning, Simon. And I suppose, you know what, it's been a really torrid time for a lot of the stocks within the casino, leisure, entertainment industry. I mean, you know, when you think about Sun International, you also think about the likes of Grand Parade Investments, which is also in the same sector. But nonetheless, I suppose, you know, we saw Sun International obviously yesterday publishing its interim results for the 6 months ended June 2021. And obviously they reported a loss of 59 million rand for the period. And I think, as you rightfully say, this is reduced significantly from the loss of around 1.4 billion. That was experienced over the same period in 2020, and especially given the fact that, you know, the group's operations really remain under pressure due to the lockdown restrictions which have been imposed on the tourism sector, obviously to curb the spread of COVID-19 in South Africa. I mean, obviously we also saw a new variant also emerging yesterday, so that's also going to put a bit of pressure, especially on whether we're going to further lockdowns or not. But, you know, Sun International, they have said their overall income from operations did improve by 52%, you know, from the prior comparative period to about 3.7 billion. And obviously they highlighted, you know, several issues that are affecting their operations, like we have seen with the other stocks as well, including the likes of Soho Sun, etc. I mean, the imposition of curfew hours, the restrictions of serving of alcohol, the limited capacity resulting from machines being switched off. Yeah. I mean, that's also caused challenge during the peak periods, you know. And I think one of the other thing that, you know, what we've also indicated is the fact that their food and beverage income also remains well below prior year due to the closure of certain outlets and obviously the lower occupancies that they've seen. And I think it is going to be quite interesting because, you know, as much as they say they have been able to manage costs This has unfortunately came with a negative effect with regards to, you know, them having to obviously issue Section 189 retrenchment processes, mm-hmm. which has ultimately affected about 2,000 employees. You know, these people include people who've worked at the likes of Sun City, the Maslow here in Sandton, Boardwalk, you know, the Table Bay Hotel and Walco Sun. So, and unfortunately, on the back of that, we have seen their employee base decline from to about 7,000 people from around 9,500 in 2019. But, you know, the group has said, look, in the short term, their main focus is recovery and growth in the domestic and leisure and gaming market, and obviously trying to also focus on international groups that travel in large numbers and who obviously have got more foreign currency to spend in the local market. So over and above that, I mean, it's been quite an interesting set of results from Sun International, and we just hope that, you know, this new variant, it just doesn't permeate and obviously, you know, cause further lockdowns. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, the likes of Sun International can start to recover.
Yeah, and you mentioned the costs. I mean, that took 650 million out of the cost base. And we've seen that with a lot of companies who suddenly starting to realize that maybe they were a little lazy with some of their costs. Mateta Tulari, head FX execution at RMB. Appreciate the early morning. A poll we're asking you on our Twitter and LinkedIn. We're seeing some life in those leisure stocks. We're seeing the third wave seemingly receding locally. Are you jumping into them after those 2020 losses? 2021 certainly seems less bad. You're already in. Yes, you will be in time. Perhaps no ways at all. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown.
On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Martin Slabbert, CEO at Mass Real Estate. Martin, appreciate the time this morning. Results coming out for your just yesterday. Dividend being returned. Looking through it, your properties performing mostly well. You make the point that open air doing a lot better than the sort of traditional closed, but generally across the portfolio seems largely a pickup in your various different assets.
Thank you, Simon. Yes, we did very well in the last 6 months. Sales in our markets, from a tenant's perspective, are now higher than what they were in 2019 pre the pandemic. And our collections have also improved dramatically. So the business is doing well. We are a little bit concerned about potential future lockdowns due to low vaccination rates, but all being said, I think we've done very well in the last 6 months.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a moment, the vaccination rates, particularly in Romania. Your portfolio is predominantly Romania. You've got some other Central and Eastern European assets, but really the focus of Mass Real Estate is the Romanian market.
That is correct. The vast majority of our exposure is to Romania. We've got two assets in Bulgaria and one shopping center in Poland. So limited exposure to the other countries in Central Europe.
And is it predominantly shopping centers? Have you also got some office and industrial?
No, we have in Central Europe only retail. Mm-hmm. This is our focus because we intend to benefit from consumption growth in this area. We also have exposure to residential development with the in the development vehicle that we co-own with Prime Capital.
And it is a case of, I mean, it is that the targeting of Romania, and you and I chatted a month or two ago around that economy. You mentioned a pandemic. I was digging around. About a quarter of Romanians have had their first shot, about a quarter have had two shots. The economy is getting back, certainly GDP getting back to pre-pandemic levels, but it could still perhaps be a little fragile.
Yes, so Romania is one of a few countries which which currently have GDP that is in excess of pre-pandemic levels. Mm-hmm. So it's in very good in a very good group of countries or economies as far as that is concerned. So the second thing I think which is important is that Romanian, in our part of the world, tourism is not a very large part of the economy. So that sector, which has been very hard hit in other European countries, hasn't affected the Romanian economy particularly. So I don't think that we expect severe disruption to the economy, even if there are further lockdowns, mm-hmm. but it may disrupt our business, which is affected if there are limitations placed on people's ability to move around freely.
Yeah, I take your point on that. You mentioned consumption, and that really is, you know, Romania is not the tourist destination. There are a lot of large corporates, global corporates, in essence, who've got operations in Romania. That then generates employment and generates salaries. That then generates that consumption, and that really is the space you're looking at. A broad populace who sort of getting a little bit richer, and they're out there and they're spending that riches.
That is the focus, yes. And we've seen this over the last 30 years. We expect this to continue to be the case for another few decades as Romania's consumption slowly catches up with averages in Europe. That's been the pattern in Central Europe. And it's actually quite a very simple phenomena that we've been focused on for more than a decade in this part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, pioneered by Nepi, as you said, over a decade ago there. The Moors and the like, I remember being in Eastern Europe, and this was late 90s, the first mall in Prague opened, and there was great excitement. Are you building greenfields? Are you buying and upgrading, converting?
Our assets are very new, and most of them have been developed in-house. We typically, in the development vehicle, buy old industrial plots that are very good locations, and we redevelop those into commercial and also into residential. So the locations are good. Those first malls in Central Europe typically didn't have great locations, but we're focusing on very good locations, as I say, by redeveloping industrial platforms mostly, which means that our assets are very well located and often disruptive. So we don't have to be the first retail developer in town to be successful either.
And in essence, then you're basically working with two skill sets. The one obviously is managing the asset. The other one is that development and you know, finding the location and developing to a standard.
That's correct. It's always been a strong point of ours. I think we are uniquely positioned from that perspective as developers. We've been very successful at that. We've developed more than 40 projects over the years, all of them successfully. And the other, I think, important thing is that because the assets in our business that we are managing are new, it means that we've got low capital expenditure requirements for those assets as well, which means that we can afford to distribute the income that we generate off those assets to shareholders.
Yeah, and that was the point I made up front. Dividend being paid, we leave it there. Martin Slabbert, CEO, Mass Real Estate. Appreciate the time today on the line from Romania.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Felix Radtab, Sea Harvest CEO. Results for 6 months ending June. Revenue up 5%. Headline earnings per share up 18%. Felix, appreciate the time again around your results. Your local operations, we kick off with that. Your revenue was up 2%, even as allowable catch was down 5%. Two parts to that question. What was the issue with the allowable catch and that being contracted down? And obviously, you managed to eke efficiencies out by getting more revenue for less fish landed.
Morning, Simon. Yes, that's quite correct. So the way we manage the resource in South Africa, or the government, is to make sure that the allowed catch reduces so that the hake is abundant. So with that in mind, we've had an abundant resource. So fishing has been very, very good in the first 6 months, way above last year. And at the same time, we've had improved vessel utilization. So there's been an efficiency increase on the cost side, which has more than made up the reduction in the volume, which has affected revenue. The second part of the equation is obviously the rand has strengthened by 5% over a year. And that affects our international business because about 53% of our fishing business is exported to the developed world. So that has affected us. But at the same time, with COVID and the fact that there's a huge demand in retail has meant that our prices have increased quite nicely everywhere. So we push price to recover the reduction in volume and the loss in the exchange rate. So we've had a very good performance in our fishing business. Our throughputs in our factories have been good. And that's on top of, and we can discuss it at a later stage, all the chaos with COVID variants that have affected our operations.
I love your point there. I mean, what you're essentially saying is that the number of the tonnage that you can catch is pulled back, but that effectively means that then nature does what it does best. It means more fish in the sea, and therefore makes your life a little bit easier in sending the boats out to catch them. Is that essentially that balancing act which we are seeing from government?
Correct. That's quite right. You want to manage a resource where you can optimize the catch and you have efficiency, which reduces the cost. And at the same time, you know, you've got less product in the market when you've got COVID. So you can, we're completely different to other proteins. We've got less supply and more demand globally. so you have got that equilibrium where price is the balancing factor. And both locally and globally, we've managed to get good increases in our fishing business, which is the bulk of our business still. And demand has also increased, Simon, globally. So we've had a good summer in Europe. As the rate of vaccinations, people are more confident to go out. And our out-of-home consumption in our business has grown by 18% versus this time last year. So it's been very, very positive from a market perspective that you've got a little bit more confidence. It's not quite there to pre-COVID levels, but we've seen confidence in markets that have been vaccinated, particularly Southern Europe, Spain, Italy, Greece, Portugal. You know, people are going out. Tourism wasn't too bad. It wasn't at record levels. It was good. And we're seeing high-value products like kingklip, monk, you know, people going out and eating those at restaurants have done particularly well. So generally good on the demand side. Good on the supply side, just COVID has been a bit chaotic.
Yeah, and that out of home, I mean, we chatted about it, I imagine it was 6 months ago with your year end, that had really hurt. I mean, COVID, I mean, for example, your aquaculture, the segment's picking up, still hurting. When we chatted the last time, it was that supply chain, which is, and the COVID disruptions around getting it to the markets, which is in Asia. Is that still your challenge?
Still the challenge. So you're struggling. The international air travel hasn't picked up. It's very much you've got very little capacity going to the Far East from Johannesburg or Cape Town. So it's very difficult to get product in the market. We've changed product format. So we've actually doubled revenue versus this time last year. But at the same time, freight rates, I'll give you an example. Pre-COVID, we were paying $4 a kilo to get product to Hong Kong. We're paying $8 now. So it's doubled. And what we're seeing is that those disruptions now have manifested themselves into sea freight too. So very difficult for us, for the fruit producers in Cape Town, to get containers out of the ports even before the hack that Transnet had. So just generally, freight has been impacted globally. Freight rates have gone up. So the aquaculture business, fortunately, is a small part of our business, but still, it's been affected with just logistics chaos with COVID.
Yeah, we've seen that across the board, and even, as you say, with the aquaculture, the logistics of the supply chains and therefore the costs when you can move it. Felix Rateb, Sea Harvest CEO, appreciate the time this morning. That's it for today. Our poll we were asking you yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts. Jackson Hole, Jerome Powell late on Friday. We've been chatting with Nick Kunz from Sunlim around it. The risk trade back on. A quarter of you were saying absolutely yes. Half of you saying for now, but be careful. And that's Correct. I mean, it is back on, but do be careful. A quarter of you were, no, the risks are real. They are real, but certainly for now, that trade is, I think, on. We're seeing it in commodities. We're seeing it in global currencies as the dollar weakens. You can have your say. You can have your vote on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.